Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of Closer Encounters, the show where you, the listener, is also the guest. I am your host, Clarence Mitchell, coming to you live from somewhere in Minnesota. Closer Encounters is streaming live from Blog Talk Radio. We are also live on Facebook, YouTube, and Google Hangouts. All of our newest updates, check us out on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Closer Encounters Radio. Don't forget to like, follow, and share. Would you like to be a special guest on Closer Encounters? Or do you know somebody that would like to be a special guest on Closer Encounters? Then just shoot us an email at closerencounters.info@gmail.com. That's closerencounters.info@gmail.com. Have you ever witnessed a UFO? Or seen something that you just cannot explain? Or maybe you've had your very own closer encounter. You believe in the ancient alien theory? We talk about this and much, much more. If you have a story, or maybe a question that you would like to get answered, give us a call. The number here is 347-989-1008. Again, the number 347-989-1008. Give us a call here at Closer Encounters. I'd love to talk to you. Okay, well, hello and welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Closer Encounters, the show where you, the listener, and also the guest. It's been, about 3 weeks, I guess, give or take. And I know it's been kind of hectic and kind of crazy, but the way things have been going lately, I've been having a lot of internet issues and yada, 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 and of course, working and all that stuff. Hopefully everything's going to work tonight. We do have a live stream up on Facebook, and I thank everybody that's here so far. Hello to Gail. Hello to Christina. I'm glad to see you with us. We do have a guest coming on tonight, and we're going to try something a little different. We're going to do it via Skype. With him on the video, and I will take the live feed that I have and point it at the screen so you guys can see who I'm talking to, and hopefully everything's going to work out. In the meantime, let me bring up Tim here. I think this is Tim that's with us. Hello, Mr. Collard. You with us, sir?
Hello, sir. How you doing this evening?
Good, good, good. Can you hear me okay, Tim? Does it sound okay?
The sound is actually better than it has been at past probably 5 or 6 shows. The sound is excellent. Wow. Perfect, as a matter of fact.
That's fantastic. Good deal. The reason why I'm asking is because I had to actually hardwire everything into into the modems and all that stuff, where before a lot of it was wireless. So hopefully, hopefully it's going to be taken care of. So.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I can definitely tell the difference right now. You know, it's very good.
Good deal. Okay. Well, tonight's show, we probably will anyway. It's an hour and a half long, as you know, and we're going to talk about some new stuff that's been discovered, some new updates that have been going on. I have a very special guest with us tonight. His name is Jeffrey Boyd Jr. He is the founder and the head man of the Independent Research Society, which is a group that I just got hooked up with. And I'm going to try to bring him up here on Skype. Let me see if I can get this up and running here. We're going to beep, beep. We'll see how this works. Let me know if it echoes back or anything, if you would, please. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, how we doing, Jeff?
You know me.
Cool.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, can everybody hear it? Is it echoing or anything? Does everything sound
good? Sounds good. Nope, sounds good.
Sounds good. Okay.
Hopefully we have no electronics.
Absolutely. I'm going to move the live feed down here. We're going to see if we can get this set up so everybody can see who I'm looking at here. I'm watching it also on another laptop here just so I can so bear with me, folks. We're going to get this.
I've been using my laptop now just to set my phone on.
Cool.
Microsoft has been jacking with everybody. I'm not upgrading though.
Well, I hear you.
Yeah, they're pulling us all into the same program. I don't like it. Looks like everybody's trying to look for a different platform right now.
Oh, ain't that the truth though? I'm telling you, it's been getting crazy. I like Blog Talk for the simplification of the studio that I have that's set up with it, but I tell you, it's been so glitchy lately. It's been terrible for us.
Yeah.
So.
It has on just about every platform, and they Spreaker is always really stable, but it like the new Skype and the old Skype, you can't even talk to people who haven't upgraded yet. You can see them, but you'll be on separate lines, and it's just all screwy.
Exactly. Okay. Well, Gail, everybody says it sounds good there. I'm looking at it here on Facebook. We got a good picture. It's a little small, but you can see it. So, yeah, doing good. So, thumbs up. Good deal. We have with us on the phone also Jeff, a man by the name of Tim Collard. He's been with us a very long time, and I'd like to introduce you to him and all the other folks out there.
Yeah. Who do you?
Who's on the phone? I didn't hear what name you said.
Tim Collard is his name. Yep. Cool.
Yeah.
Good
deal.
All right. Yeah. Tim.
All right.
I'm one of the, one of the guys who kind of, I like to vocalize my knowledge and to express my opinions on this show. And it fits in, you know, I try to fit in well with everything that's going on.
Okay. One thing I got to take care of here. We're not hearing Tim as loud as we are you. So let me see here if I can bring him up a little bit. And
check.
Is there a way?
Hello.
Yeah, I can hear you, Tim. I don't think he can hear you though, because
no, I can't.
Yeah.
I'm trying to bring.
I'm trying to go online here too. I'm trying to get it. I'm kind of distracted here. I can hear you.
Can you hear the speaker, Jeff?
I think a second ago I could hear him just through one of your speakers you have there, but not through my headphones.
Okay. Let me Let me try and move this speaker up just a little bit without knocking everything over here.
All right. Yeah.
Tim, you want to try to say something there, bud? And we'll see if he can
check,
hear you better.
Check. Hello. Testing. Testing. 1, 2. Testing. Check. Hello. 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 1, 2, 3, 4.
Just barely. Yeah.
Check. Check.
See that?
Testing. Testing. Mic check.
Can
mic check.
Direct,
check.
Normal call into a Skype conversation. I don't know how they always do that. You know,
I don't know
if
either.
If Skype goes bad, they'll switch it over to the phone number.
Yeah.
But, I'm not ever on the production end of it.
Exactly.
All
righty. Gee whiz. Tim, do you have Skype at all or not? Or
no, I do not.
Okay.
No, I've just seen what I can get going on here on online. I'm on Facebook, and I see, what is his name, Steve?
Jeff. Yep.
Oh, Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff.
Yeah,
Jeff. I see him there, but now there you are. On the inside.
I'm going to bring the microphone a little closer to the speaker itself, so we'll see how that works.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's because I could barely hear him every time he talks. I can't hear what he's saying, but I can just hear his voice.
Well, I try not to mumble. I'll try to speak up and talk clearly, as clear as I can anyway.
Well, we got everything. We have audio, we have visual, we have everything. It's just a matter of getting everybody to hear it better.
Right.
We got one side.
We're streaming live right now.
Yes, we are. Yep, we're streaming live.
Yeah, but.
And you are on.
We got the Independent Research Society and Tammy, Ildine, Carolyn, Matt. Everybody's here.
Cool.
Well, they said they were. We're in the live data stream also on the society page. And on the ancient
can you
areas,
hear me okay, sir?
Can
you hear me?
Groups.
Yeah, I can hear you, Tim.
Okay. All right. Well, it's just the link between Jeff and myself.
And even the Skype before it, we could actually sit there and text to each other, so we could talk to him even on a different platform.
Absolutely, yeah.
To text, yeah. But they funneled everybody into this new one. It has a totally different interface. It's hard to even tell who anybody even is anymore. I couldn't even sign into my old account once I upgraded. It made me sign up for another Microsoft account. So they're trying to funnel everybody into one thing. And one of these other platforms is going to come out with something that's going to be some competition for it. But I think it's just more of people need to start using it more. So it'll, you know, like Zoom and different things we're looking at, Google Hangouts.
Right.
Because now we've so many shows, and it's just like 50% of the work or more is trying to keep a stable signal. And I'm not sure how much of that is actual interference from other people, because they said it yet on the show yesterday. It just seems like shows that are on Bigfoot or on something, you know, that's even further fringe, there doesn't seem to be any technical problems. But when you start giving like government document numbers and things like that, somehow audio and video will disconnect and all kind of crazy stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. We've had the same problem here many, many times, haven't we, Tim?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The powers that be is they don't want to.
Portals of Knowing 3 weeks in a row, and since then I've been hearing the same thing she has, like sound of somebody hammering, sipping coffee or something, and just or playing my own voice back to me. It's not even a lag, it's a different recording, you know. I'm like, what am I listening to? And, yeah, that's a little distracting.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, well, being we got you here and so far so good, How about if we get you to tell us what the Independent Research Society is all about and what you're all about, and I'll let you have the floor and do your thing there, Jeff.
Well, now you're in the Research Society, and I mean, that's what it's about. Everybody's got their own piece, and so many researchers, like you've got Evan and Stephen Strong and Ildi and everybody down in Australia, and, you know, I didn't know those pieces. It's not taught in our schools. They're trying to crank out more consumers. That's really all they're trying to teach. They don't really, you know, care if you actually learn real history. And they even tell you in class that history is written by the victors of war. So they tell you it was fictional stuff written for agendas, and it's always been, adjusted. And then they wipe out the people before, and our history gets shorter and more skewed. And so now we've got researchers from, and it started with me just having some research I was doing on the pyramids, some research I was doing on resonance technology, morphogenetic resonance studying like Rupert Sheldrake. And so I was across many different subjects, the plasma electric model of the universe and all that. And so it was across so many different subjects that I wanted to make, you know, one society that all of those things, you know, I could post my writing. I could turn all the stuff that I had written and put it in post, and then, you know, it's forever there. But it's been amazing. Now, even though we've got, like, you know, 2,200 people or something, we've got so many radio hosts and so many researchers, archaeologists, physicists. So we've got the truth seekers and the truth speakers. And when you get everybody else's little piece of the puzzle, it starts answering questions, and the research just speeds up, and it's no longer like a theory contest the way it was. But eventually I want to grow it into a foundation to where independent researchers can come to us for, you know, financial support, anything they need, you know, and but it's gone worldwide now, and we've got that good base of, you know, our core people of our radio people, TV, documentary filmmakers, and researchers, you name it, even John Anthony West all the way to Dave. Got me back?
Yes, we do. Okay. Now, let's see here if it comes back. Tim, you still with us, sir?
Yes, sir. I sure am. I just need to stay tight right here. Hang tight. And I still had a signal.
Right.
I hadn't lost your signal, so I knew how to...
Okay, we got you back live on Facebook. So there we go. We're all back live again.
All right, good deal.
Yeah, he does something now. There you go. Now I'm hardwired into the modem, into everything, and they still drop the call. Now why is that?
Powers,
what the hell is going on?
The powers that be don't want us to be communicating and getting together and joining forces.
Or something. I don't know. I didn't believe that too much until it happened so many times, but it's been pretty crazy lately. It's like every show that I'm on, we spend half the time trying to get it all together, and I don't know. I think the Skype thing's one of the really big problems.
Yeah. Well, I know. It's like Tim just said, you know, the powers to be. It's unbelievable. Tim, I just moved you a little bit closer there, Tim, so he could hear you better.
All right. Well, I agree with you, Jeff, 100%, man. Man, I'll tell you what, I'd like to find out more about your group and everything.
And different platforms they're on, before we had Linux and things like that. So before, everybody could use different things to connect, and now they're trying to make everybody use certain programs, and some programs don't agree with certain hardware.
Oh, yeah.
I did major in computer information systems first, but I figured I did not want to do that for the rest of my life. I'm so glad I didn't keep going.
Exactly.
Right. Well, that's why I haven't upgraded.
No, I couldn't do that. I would have already gone crazy.
What was that, Tim?
I said that's why I haven't upgraded very much more than what I have. You know, I don't want to try to send out a stronger signal than what I already do right now. You know, or to communicate much more than what we do here on this format and on our show here, and amongst my friends and my cohorts that I hang around with, we get into conversations, you know, about things, you know, that's going on that we really don't know about, you know, and how we're being controlled and all that stuff, you know. But it seems that people don't really care about it, you know, for the most part. You know, everybody's caught up in all the bull crap that the media and what the news can throw at us, you know, nightly news and TV and everything, you know, to distract us, you know, and to make us feel good about ourselves and do, you know, think we're doing the right thing, you know, and right. It's a mind control, you know, and I see it going on around us constantly.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. Alrighty. Getting back to the independent research, Jeff. Now, you got this set up pretty decent. Now, what is the actual, I think you mentioned it a little bit there, what is the actual thing that the research center is going to be capable of doing here in the near future?
I had a dream one time, and I don't know if it was, you know, foretelling something, but in my dream, I saw a campus thing. Maybe that was just a, you know, metaphorical thing, but researchers being able to come to us if they need help getting airfare or to get onto a dig or something. But all the independent researchers are so used to doing their research and traveling and things on so little on their own money, and a little bit of help for independent researchers goes a long way when they're not used to getting any help.
Right.
But just this free flow of information and being connected to each other 24 hours a day, and now we're pretty much in every time zone that there's people in. So we've got a guy, and we've got multiple people in Egypt. We've got, you know, people in Indonesia, the Philippines, Thailand, everywhere you can think of. And so we've networked together as one thing, and so many times I see somebody else's research they post, and it fills in one of the blanks of a question that I had on some of my research, and it's just sped up exponentially. The findings, like the pictures I was sending you before the show to kind of see what the different things I've been doing.
Right.
It's everywhere from life that's around the sun all the time, all the way to like chemistry, like what is the Giza pyramids made of, how old they are, the hard science stuff of it. And a lot of it has been stuff people don't even realize they can use, and so few people try it, that most of these telescopes, satellites, everything we have, 10,000 something satellites above the Earth, and no one ever even tries to connect to them. So few people try to use it that we've got massive resources now. But the LIDAR thing, we've made some advances in imaging that's really helped us find some things. Now LIDAR, which means light detection and ranging, we can see a certain depth underground, and using certain filters, we can see if there's wood underground or stone and different things. But 15 meter used to be the best there was for a long time, and now we're up to 6 kilometers. So it's almost 4 miles deep we can see. And the Earth was smaller then, the water levels were lower, but people don't realize the amount that there's tons of material that falls on us from space all the time, and it buries those other civilizations. And from the imaging that I've looked at, everywhere we've done LIDAR and looked underground, we found things that we did not expect. And then, I was on Lighting the Void with with Joe Root and Dave Cruz called in, and I totally forgot that. I just figured somebody had already got an image inside Point Doom. That people call it the Malibu underwater UFO base or whatever. Well, they never had any closure on it. I had to stop listening, you know, because I just didn't have the time anymore. But Dave asked if I could get an image of Point Doom, and I had already been imaging the thing, and it is not a natural structure. The geologists are trying to call it Sycamore Knoll, and I forgot what they call it. You know, they make up some type of rock ejection or something out of the side, but it's sitting on the whole continental shelf, and it's 2,000 feet deep. But 12,000 years ago, which is our recorded history, would have put it the water level 400 feet lower. This is sitting 2,000 feet deep under the ocean, and it sits exactly where the North American ice cap ended. So if you were traveling from the south to the north until you hit the North American ice cap, that's exactly where Point Doom is. And if you were traveling from Asia, if you were just following the ice along, right where the ice ended is where this is. And like that picture I sent you, it had, you can see the four canyons, Malibu canyons, that are to the left of it, to the north of it. And that's, you think about how long it took for the Colorado River to dig the Grand Canyon. Well, think about how long it would take for melting glacial ice to dig Malibu Canyon around it. And you can even see behind Point Doom, not only is there a bridge that they constructed going over one of the canyons to the structure next door, and Google has it, it's just one structure. They have it really skewed. But I just went and got independent imaging from, I just found a research vessel that had used what's called bluefin sonar, another one of the advances we have. It gives us a real HD view of what the sea floor is. And now we've been able to see under the sea floor. And I think, like peeling an onion, we're about to show civilizations that people have forgot about, like the Kurgan civilization. Right. They were giants, but they you always have this stereotype of giants being, you know, carrying a club, and they're big and stupid, or they're all out like Goliath or whatever. But everything I've seen of the Kurgan, and everything I found of the Kurgan giants and their interaction with civilizations around them, like in Carpathia and ancient Romania, and those like pre-Greek and pre-Roman civilizations, you see the Kurgan were always dressed like you would see like a Greek senator. Like that's how they're always portrayed, is this high-tech, advanced civilization, not, you know, some giants running around the woods with clubs.
Right.
And
exactly.
I think that's just one of them. I really don't think that we know 90% of the civilizations that have been here. And we're starting to change that. Like we have Muon imaging. Say when you break your ankle, you go into the emergency room, they put that white square tile underneath your leg, and then they put the crosshairs on there and they take a picture. Well, now in Muon imaging, they take, you know, Muon's a particle. They take those tiles and you go into a pyramid and go down as deep as you can to the lowest point of any structure, or just go dig underground and put these tiles down side by side like you're doing a tile floor, and leave them overnight. Well, all night long, cosmic rays rain down, and as they come down, they go through the pyramid, and the angle that they hit them at and the speed, it gives you a three-dimensional view of every cubic millimeter of it. Even density changes, not just voids, but even density changes in the material, so you can find doors that there's nothing hidden. And they've done one or two pyramids, but they'll eventually get all of them. They take those tiles back, and they do set them down like a tile floor, and they have what's called a high-speed microscope, and it goes across the tiles and reads them, and it builds you a three-dimensional picture of the pyramid, and it's just super high resolution, and you can see every little tiny thing in there. And eventually, you know, we're going to be doing things like dropping a sheet of tile down a hole in the ground and then let the cosmic rays rain down all night. If you can get that thing a couple thousand feet below the surface, and there's many places you can do that, even in the cracks in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, the cosmic rays aren't stopped by that. So you would see, if you got down inside of a crack or a deep place in the earth, it would show you everything that is in between there. So not only LIDAR,
right,
but muon give you a high definition look at anything that it can't get. Bluefin sonar, the new type of sonar, they call it that because it looks kind of like a tuna fish, a big blue torpedo they drop behind the boat, just like the old sonars. But this comes in super high definition. And don't just look at Google Earth, everybody. Like, go, there's so many different images. You can go to any university, no matter what story they stuck with,
right,
you can find their independent imaging, and it's completely different. And I found a research vessel that had gone straight up the California coast, getting a high definition view of all those canyons, and it's right outside the naval base. And so I looked at the naval base material, then I looked at the universities, San Diego State University, and places that had been using bluefin sonar, and you get that high definition view.
Yeah. Silent again.
And they're one next to the other, so you're looking multiple poles, just like a parking garage, underwater, and you see things that looks like pyramids, you know, not pyramids, statues in front of it.
Right.
And just the size of this thing, we're talking about two or three NFL stadiums would probably fit inside of one of them. You could probably fit the Metrodome in there three times. And that was built right at that point, and now you can see Michael Tellinger, Klaus Dana, all these people from different directions all coming to the same conclusion, where not what we are, but how long human sapien has been here walking the earth with these other things. But now it's gone back at least 300,000 years, and the image of Point Doom could push it back as far as 1.26 million years, but it was probably somewhere in between, because it appears that it was built during the time that the ice was there, so not before it, because otherwise they would have, by chance, built something exactly where the ice sheet ended, just south of it. So I think it was built during the time that ice sheet, so that's between 1.26 million years up to 12,000 BC, and that, you know, that's the Paleocene era at 12,000 years, and you can see, you can clearly see that it's architecture, and those poles that go back inside, just a third pole back, I figured that that's probably about 3/4 of a mile in to the structure, and looking at the structure next door, Google has it as this just kind of a sloping thing, and you can see those pillars, but they're kind of laid down at a 45-degree angle. But if you just look up a bluefin sonar image or just go to the Research Society, I actually got a pretty impressive database on there now. Go to the Research Society and click on photos. Go to the eye on the member section and go to photos, and you can see all the stuff we've posted for the last year and a half. But the trade back and forth of research, it has just sped up exponentially. And I've just been going like day to day. Like you said, hey, you know, an hour ago or whatever, you want to do a show? We need to do one. I was like, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You're like, when? Tonight. Okay, let's do it.
Wow.
Cool, man.
While we're
cool.
Tomorrow, I don't do it tomorrow either. But it's been exciting. I'm you know, used to, I was the type that I didn't, when I was younger, I would just about want to puke and pass out if I knew I had a book report the next day to talk in front of people. And now I guess I've done about 30 shows this year. So
cool.
you either got to just drop it. But I think so, being on ground zero helped because I had that image in my head. Like, I'm talking to, like, 12 Superdomes worth of people live trying to get a grasp of that number of 3 million people. And so, yeah, that one I did okay on, you know. And so after that, it kind of didn't have any fear of it after that. But it's hard to hear yourself. But lately, since I know I'm probably going to have a lot more radio shows and TV stuff that I already have lined up, I already had to start going back and make myself listen to myself. That's one of the hardest things in the world to do, and break habit, yeah. Break bad habit. Yeah. But the science has moved so fast. That's why the stuff I was sending you, you got Angkor Wat, and that's how all of the megaliths are worldwide. You only see what's above the ground, but also you're not seeing the wood that was there. You're
right.
Not seeing,
right.
Like, we have the gypsum sheetrock that you pour water on, it disappears.
Uh-huh.
You don't see all those other materials. You're only seeing the stone left back from that time. But I've been studying piezoelectricity, and I'm actually in a crystal shop right now, a mineralogy shop, Crystal Designs. We have a shop right here in the house. But it's, you know, that's helped me thinking about the piezoelectric effect of it. But looking at all the pyramids, even the Mayan, before history was saying that was their religion, the river that runs under the mountain. But actually, that was it. Those were technical drawings how to make these things work. They're machines worldwide. In Mexico, they're not tombs. In Belize, they're not tombs. Bosnia, Egypt, Indonesia, everywhere. And history is just a completely different thing than what's taught in schools, which almost no history is even taught anymore.
Right.
It really is this agenda-based thing that's made for cranking out new consumers. And
right, exactly.
Even back in the 80s, they teach you lifestyles of the rich and famous. You measure your success by the most worthless thing you can buy for the most amount of money makes you the most successful person. That's totally insane.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He spent $12 million
exactly.
On the bathroom, gold-plated, you know? I mean, it's just silliness, and it's so many people. You now, it's just a duality of man. You've got half the people, and mainly the people who lived and researched and read before the internet ever came out. So I've been there since the beginning of it. So have you. And some people, old and young, use it to turn their brain off and actually let that programming. And there's a reason why it's called programming. Take hold. That
yep.
Those people will get angry, and you know, that cognitive dissidence, they will get angry if you shake up their world. And but that's, you know, like I've said it before, Olaf Phillips said a great thing on, I believe it was on Ground Zero, about Joe Sixpack. Most people are content with working their entire life away. 9 to 5 every day, and you get time to get ready for work and time to recover when you get back. You take your whole life away, and it's all been around making money to buy stuff and being part of that system. And as long as they have their six pack, and this, like Holoff said, the San Francisco 49ers are here, the Dallas Cowboys, the Saints, or LSU, as long as you have that, they don't really care. They're good to go. And
yep.
That really is, you know, you get the people who are totally keeping up with the Kardashians, and then you have the ones that don't care, Joe Sixpack, and the other ones are the true seekers and the true speakers, and that's a pretty live group right there. It never stops. You see it on the Research Society page every day, and we're open 24 hours a day, and it never stops.
Exactly.
So it's just been... If we weren't making discoveries and advances and all these things, new creations all of the time, it would be easier to step away from it. But I've got some field work coming up here pretty soon, so I'm going to be stepping out into my first archaeology job out in the field. I'm excited about that.
Oh, that's
you know, I'm ready to go dig up some of these ancient civilizations and change these textbooks, or at least be a pain in their butt.
Yeah.
Well, Yeah, and it's just like Tim and I discussed many times that with all these new findings, unfortunately, you know, the scientific community out there will not change the history books because they're afraid of losing their social status or their scientific
funding,
right,
all of it.
That stuff.
Yeah.
So it's gonna,
yeah.
Think about the professors. Yeah, they're textbooks. They write their own textbooks.
Absolutely.
And then you're selling them for 200 a piece to five classes of 150 people. You got hundreds of thousands of reasons for a semester to not ever change.
That's the truth. That's the absolute truth.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's going to take people like you and you know, whoever out there doing the groundwork and making them change it. I mean, they're not going to have much say in it here, hopefully, you know, in the near future. We're going to have to change it all, including their statures, you know. It's just the way it's going to be.
Uh-huh.
People are just thirsty for the truth, and they're not getting it, and they can't get it. The way the system is, the system's broken, and we got to fix it. We got to, you know, we got to change this, no doubt about it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Dude, that it'll implode.
Everybody heard people a few years ago, and the younger generation especially said, oh, I don't care if I'm being watched. I'm not doing anything wrong or whatever. Well, now they're in their 20s and 30s and now in the research society, very few of them, but some of them, and now they realize that you can see the horrible negative effects that it's had, and Facebook is a good sociological experiment. You've got him, Zuckerberg, giving our information over. He built a self-fulfilling database.
Yeah.
You know, the CIA, he did all the work for him for the next to forever, because everybody gets online and fills out their own information. And that's why I tell my friends and family we know that we're family. Don't link your whole family up. You don't have to put your boyfriend and girlfriend and your kids and everybody else, because all somebody has to do to control you is to go on to your Facebook page, and they know your kids' names and what school they go to and everything else.
True.
So, yeah, but my address and all that stuff is just total BS. I always keep it that way.
Cool.
But lately, it changed with the Research Society, too. Now, like when I was coming out with the Point Doom photos, I was really catching some slack. And I guess about a year and a half, about a year and a half ago, right at the beginning of the Research Society, I was doing a lot of stuff on CERN and the Large Hadron Collider and explaining to people what they're looking for and what they're actually doing and the different power levels, and their firing schedules were off. And most people don't even think about things like that, but CERN was doing things like they put their firing schedule out and it says we're going to be firing off at 11 TeV, 11 tera electron volts. Well, what they were doing was they were putting out what they did last month. So if you ever try to object to anything that they're about to do, you're too late. They did it last month.
Oh, wow.
And whenever I started reporting things like that, I started getting math problems. But I was like, this is funded by 60 nations, the New World Order that John McCain already said came 70 years ago, and out of anger, he spit that out of his mouth. And I was like, man, if that doesn't wake people up right there.
Yeah.
It was right when Trump got elected and people lost their minds. He said, I'm afraid we've got a president that's not going to fit into this New World Order that we've had in place working for the last 70 years. That shows you right there, he's on the Republican and the conservative, the independent side, and he was totally angry that the person from his party didn't win and spit that out of anger. But that shows you the disconnection from actual citizens. They can't even identify with us. He spit that out of his mouth because that's just the regular stuff he's talking about. And that's what I'm sure they were all talking about. But hey, if a monkey wrench in the system's what we need sometimes, it's becoming very Orwellian. You're on camera everywhere, and if I see a drone flying around my yard, I'm bringing it down.
I don't don't blame you.
I'm telling you right now. I don't care.
And it's the truth. It's kind of like that movie with Jason Bourne, you know, when you really stop and think about it. They followed him. They seen him on the camera they had, blah, blah, blah. And it really makes you wonder, damn, is that really going on out there, And obviously, it's got to be,
look at the movie. People need to go check out the movie. I don't think it was even advertised a lot, but it's Eye in the Sky, and it's about a situation. It's over, somewhere in the Middle East, but it shows their little drones that are like the size of a wasp flying inside somebody's house.
Right.
And then them measuring, well, if we drop the J-dam right here, well, it'll only kill this part of the people in the house and everybody within this range of 50%. And it's just gone crazy. Like Obama, he was mass murdering people with the drones. And the truth needs to get out there about things like that should be a big deal. But you got people out that are fighting for Antifa and do not realize the people that are funding it are the fascists, and that they're too tied up in that.
Right.
But I've seen over and over where a drone flies over, hits somebody, then medical responders, 20 people show up, a bunch of doctors, TV, they hit them again. So, and there's even a video I'll even show you, and the drone pilot, he's not blowing the whistle on anybody. I guess he just didn't think about what he was saying. He said, we always hit the target and then stay in the area to watch the after effects. Well, they're waiting until people gather up and they're bombing it. They kill two people the first time when the first responders show up. And I forgot what the number is. Just in the last month, how many first responders have been killed.
Wow.
And these people aren't terrorists. There was a father and a son and his daughter. A cameraman was actually shot in Iraq by a drone. And he was carrying a camera, like a network size camera, and just jogging across the street. And when he got to the curb, he got hit with a bunch of rounds, either coming from a drone or coming from an Apache. And instantly, this van pulls up, the cameraman's crawling and trying to get to his feet. There was a little boy in the front passenger side seat of the van, and whenever the dad got out to go help the cameraman up off the ground, they got hit again, and the kids were right there and killed him for just stopping, just being a good guy. And it's gotten out of hand that we're not supposed to be afraid of our government. People forget that a state is a country, and the way that our founding fathers, they wanted this to be 50 nations under one flag.
Right.
And that's how it's supposed to be. That's why state law is supposed to trump federal law. What they're not supposed to be in our life this much, but you see on TV every night, and movies, you'll have police, local police at a place, and then the feds will show up, and they take over. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. The sheriff's supposed to be able to say, get out of my whole parish, or county, depending on if you're in Louisiana.
Right.
But, and here, we still got Napoleonic law. That's why we've got parishes and everybody else has got counties. We still got law that was set up before the United States. But people generally don't care until it involves them. And even then, they're not educated enough about any of the situations to do anything positive about it. Demonstrating and all that, people are weary of the demonstration. It's not changing any minds. When you demonstrate and you start getting loud and trying to make your point about things, people will tune you out now. Everybody's just weary of it. It's all for a false news agency. That's why I don't understand disclosure.
Right.
Disclosure on ETs, disclosure on anything. Our universe is full of life, and I could turn on a camera right now that's pointed at the sun, and within a few minutes show you something that is not supposed to be there. But they're pointed out to the middle of nowhere in space with Hubble, why don't you just turn Hubble toward the moon? There's a reason why they won't, is because it's covered in stuff from previous civilizations, probably on the Earth, and previous civilizations unknown. And I was in the Lunar Anomaly Research Society and the Mars Research Society before the Independent Research Society. But I just found that every time we get a data dump from, like, the Curiosity rover, like a Gigapan, you know, cash dump of photos would come in, the whole group would basically, you know, make their coffee, sit down at their computers, and we're digging through photos, you know, from the mass cam, and you get a bunch of photos at once. It doesn't just keep sending one at a time. So basically we're on a treasure hunt for, like, 3 days. Then I started thinking, they're using us to go through these images really quickly to edit the thing, because everything we find, like that one I sent you a picture of, that it's a building. It's got different sections to it, and it has its own architecture and style to it. It's not something that could be a rock formation. It looks like a ziggurat. And
I was going to ask you about that. Did that photo actually come from the moon? Is that where that's placed at?
That's at Mars.
Mars. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to show people that. Oh, my gosh.
And did you know, that's what I was about to say, it's all connected. Cairo actually means city of Mars. And most people don't know that.
I didn't know
and,
that.
It means city of Mars. And you see the same things up there. But over the years, if you've noticed, the base has slowly disappeared with every new image and the different structures on the moon.
Right.
But there's this one place, it looks like the visitor center at the Grand Canyon. It is built at the top of a canyon looking, you know, on the side of a cliff. And it looks like a spaceship with a bunch of windows, like a flying saucer with a bunch of windows around the outside. It looks like a visitor center at a place you'd go in the mountains. And this is, it's either a material that is just never aged and it's been there a long time, or it's something that's currently working, but I just have a still image of it. But that stuff is everywhere. And that one picture I sent you that's white, it kind of has, you see reds and greens and stuff. I had to add contrast to it to be able to make any sense of it. Derek Baker, he was sending me pictures and trying to make sense of it, but they jumble up everything. And that's why I said it looks like they used the same camera that Abraham Lincoln got his portrait done with to take pictures of the moon.
Right.
It's only 250,000 miles away. And
right.
You got people sticking their cameras out the door and getting better shots than they did from the rovers and things like that. But think about this. Apollo 8 went, and they had missions before that orbited the moon, and they said, the exact words, dilapidated bridges that are going across a chasm that reminds me of the Grand Canyon, then this castle-type thing. And so they knew that ahead of time. Well, in all of... And you even see where Buzz Aldrin and Armstrong went over where they were going to land. And I think they even said it on the radio at that time. There were other things there at that location. And they were like, well, let's go a little bit further. And they landed, they put them where they thought there would be nothing. But still in the background, that's that other photo I sent you. Richard Hoagland has one, but it's from a different angle. And they call it the castle. And if you look, that's that green and red tinted picture I sent you. It's like in the infrared spectrum.
Yes.
But you can see the wall that goes along it. That's that 6 mile tall glass dome that looks like maybe a meteor or something has gone through the roof of it. Because you can see a hole in the top of it. But all these huge structures. Think about this. After Apollo 17 and all of them, the next time that anything was sent to the moon, it was not NASA. It was the Department of Defense sent the Clementine orbiter and doing things like nuking stuff on the moon. It's hard to explain things like that, so they kind of don't talk about it. That's a pretty big deal. But they're doing everything they can to hide it. And I'm one of those people, like, I don't care what the truth is either way, whether there is life out there or isn't, or if our history's 12,000 years or a million years. There's no answer I want it to be. I just test and study, and whatever the data tells me, I form a hypothesis from that. Because
right
for a long
on,
time, theory contest, and whoever is the bigger name at the bigger university, you know, that's what they're going to go with.
Right.
And hopefully we're entering a new time right here. We're empowering ourselves.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Good
what
deal, man.
Yeah.
Jim, you have anything to add to that? Or?
Well, I've been studying Richard C. Hoagland. I've been watching all of his lectures and his presentations about stuff on the moon, and I am in a conclusion that everything he speaks about is the truth. I believe in him so wholeheartedly because of his knowledge, and if you question what he may talk about, he will in turn prove you to be right with him. You know, you cannot deny what he's speaking to be the truth, and the scientific side of it, and then you see the other side of it, the actual pictures, and then you see the conspiracy that's been going on for years and years and years, and the cover up that's been going on with NASA and other government agencies that's been changing. All of our history books are set aside to tell us nothing but lies, to just usher us along in a certain direction, to make us think that, oh, this is all that way. Well, they explain it this way in this book. This book here tells me that it's this way, and that makes sense. So I believe that and go on my happy little merry way, and everybody is, you know, being ushered along and being sent to the slaughter like lambs, you know, and made just like you said, that they're made to think that things that are important are things that are of value that have absolutely no value. You know, that are valuable as far as the amount of money that you pay for it, but have got little or no significant value in your life. You know, that what really makes you, you know, you. And there are us. There are many of us. There are many, many. I'm finding more and more people are becoming curious, and the intelligent people are breaking away from that programming and that way that we've been raised for the last 70, 80 years, you know, and we're looking for the truth, and the truth is coming out, whether the powers that be want it to happen or not. The truth will come out, and the more people that become aware, the more the awakening will take effect, and the more the energy will create that surrounding kind of like a force field effect. Not really, but I believe that's what takes when you get more than one person together thinking in the same way, that brings about power. And then you get, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100, 1,000, 2,000, 50,000, 40,000, or 60,000, 100,000, and then, you know, up into a million people believing that same way, it gains energy and you gain a force. And it's a recognizable force, and it cannot be denied. And it cannot be. It can't be shunned aside. It can't be. Can't be duplicated. It can't be. It can't be. Any kind of a synthetic process made to make that happen. It's all natural. It's a natural flow of energy that goes that way. And we are on the brink of that. We are standing on the brink of an awakening. And I'm full of energy and full of just excitement as to what's going to happen and what's going to come about. And I love what you're doing, and I need to find out, Jeff, I need to find out what you're, you know, how to get a hold of your group and stuff, because I have some things that I need to share with you and some places that I need you to check out in California with the LIDAR imaging, because these are places that I know have got significant, some kind of significant geological presence there. And
I just can't,
man, I'm so excited. It's hard for me to keep my thoughts going in the right direction and convey what I want to speak here, because I'm so excited.
Cool.
But being like a giddy little schoolgirl, I'm just gonna kind of be quiet and let you take the reins again. And man, I just love hearing what you have to say, man. 100%.
Well, good. Jeff, can you tell the folks, Tim and everybody, where they can find the Independent Research Society and you know, what you guys are looking for and stuff? And
just come to if you're tapping on the browser, facebook.com/groups and then Independent Research Society, but anywhere inside Facebook, you can just use the IND and it'll pop it up there first. And now we've got a magazine/news. It's like a video mag, written segments by different people. I think I even talked to you about having a segment.
Yes, absolutely.
And have our own newsreel, because people aren't hearing about the discoveries that are being made, and we've got to get that out into the public in order to get things to change. More people have to know about it. And I tell everybody, don't believe me, check it out yourself, and it is what it is, and it's not what we've been taught, and you can't have a whole planet full of out-of-place artifacts.
Exactly.
I mean, how many does it take before it's history that's out of place? And we've got there, and now there's people. And it's literally out of necessity, as things have needed. I built a site a while back, like I was telling you, whenever I was on Lighting the Void and Dave Cruz called in asking about Point Doom. Well, I made a little room called the Truth Mafia, just named it that for a second, just to show them the images I had privately, so the Google monster didn't eat it and get it out. it's all the same thing.
Yep.
And that's why I keep it off Facebook. My computer never, ever has been connected to the internet. It stays disconnected from it. I transfer data from my phone in other ways. But just getting the truth out there and got to change things. And like you were saying, disclosure from people that you know have lied to you about every single thing. And I don't think anybody, even if they're Democrat, the person's Democrat on TV, would say, I know that person's telling me the truth 100%. Everyone at least knows a little bit, or they are totally programmed. But out of necessity, people have been wanting the news, and they listen to these shows. A lot of people do, just to hear the discovery news, because it's gonna take it's just confirmation is what you need. And Clyde Lewis says that all the time. It's not gonna be through disclosure.
Absolutely.
It's gonna be through confirmation. But it's gonna be these discoveries that we're out there looking at, and we've imaged, and now it's time to go out in the world and plant a flag and dig these things up. And it's going to take, well, I mean, you've seen it. I've got pictures of high technology where I saw a thermal anomaly down, and I won't say where it is, because anybody that tells us that that's in Antarctica, they did not get the image themselves.
Right.
But it's that huge thing buried in the ice, and it's hundreds of feet under the ice. And it's obviously not anything of our level technology at all. And it's not a coincidence that as our technology advances, we understand more about the ancient world.
Right.
Every time we make a new advance and understand, oh, that's what they were talking about, it's not mythology. Before, everything was written off to mythology or some magic or some,
right.
Everything was a folk tale, until one by one they've been proved to be history and not the Giants of the North and all of it. But we've had places like the Smithsonian that have been throwing giant skeletons away as fast as they can get their hands on them.
That's the truth, yeah. Hiding in the basement. Absolutely. And we talked about that many times. Absolutely.
Yeah, but put it on a ship and use it for firing practice for the Navy. I think they did that one time.
Yep.
And there's just so many things. And the Antifa people and all the people that are programmed do not understand that's fighting for a police state to take away our freedoms. And I was surprised just yesterday they did a poll asking people about privacy and about these things, and you know, it was a huge number that didn't care.
Right.
And so now you see the duality. There's starting to be a separation. The truth seekers are getting more active, and the other ones are going really far the other way. So you're seeing this divide in the middle, but things are advancing really fast. It's just going to be one of those things where we're about to dig up some things unless they find some way to stop us. But when you already have an image of it underground and you get it out there on the internet, there's just no denying it. Because when I use their own, like, go to helioviewer.org, helioviewer, helioviewer.org. That's a picture of the sun live 24 hours a day. And you can look through SOHO or the Solar Dynamics Observatory, and you can see life around the sun all the time. And then there's these planet-sized life forms of some type that came back in 2012. Most everybody's seen the picture of that, the YouTube of that siphon and zinc material off the sun.
Right.
And then it takes off, and when it takes off, their explanation was it was a bubble. Well, if it was a bubble, it would have floated off. It wouldn't have kicked up a wake 1,500 miles tall on the sun. Well, that same creature, or like Stan Friedman says, nothing but craft, came back this July 12th. Two of them did the same exact thing. But we always see, like that one thing I sent you that looks like a bird, or you can call it an angel or whatever, but those are massive things. But I think there's a lot more life out there than it is. And, you know, that's one of the things that I started studying to even get into archaeology was I was looking for references to scientific information, references to frequency and things like that, not just studying morphic genetic resonance, but actually, you know, different frequencies that have different effects. And when I started looking in archaeology, I started finding scientific data everywhere. And when you are looking at it for just what it is, not what it's supposed to be, the story just unfolds for you. A perfect example, like the archaeologists say, okay, you're Inca of descent. You built Machu Picchu, Pumapunku, all this, that was you. And Cusco, Pisac, you know, and they're like, no, we didn't build that. That was here when we came down from North America.
All right, just like Pumapunku, right? Yeah.
Which is Atlant, and the archaeologists say, no, you built it. Yeah. And that just doesn't make any sense. They do the same thing with the Mayans. And I think this is a profound statement. George Washington, his first time crossing the Appalachian Mountains into the Ohio River Valley, he said that he thought it was barbaric. Remember, George Washington had seen Philadelphia, Boston. I don't know if he'd been to Europe, but he had seen massive, massive buildings. And he had been the president. He had been a general. He had seen large construction sites, entire battlefields. But he said when he crossed and then into the Ohio River Valley, he thought it was barbaric that they were destroying, he said, mounds, pyramids, and entire city states being leveled in the name of clearing the continent of barbarism for our expansion west.
Oh my goodness.
So he had seen some big stuff, and you know, like, if it was bigger than anything he had ever seen, and even any archaeological sites, I'm sure he had seen pictures of Greece and the Acropolis and all of that, and the Pantheon, the Parthenon, that he said it was the biggest from Ohio, Missouri, Arkansas, all in there. And Arkansas still has some of the Toltec pyramids, and I'm right here next to Poverty Point. It's not very far away.
Wow.
So if anybody ever wants to see that, I'm in Louisiana. Just come down. I'll go with you.
We're going to make a trip.
Really?
I
live in Arkansas and Oklahoma.
Find that right now you can go to the HelioView or use their material that they put up in space to look at the life that's around the sun all the time. That's all there is to it. The life is coming from that direction. When you're looking the other direction, you're looking literally into the dark. Looking the other direction, you can clearly see them.
Huh.
At, like the one I sent you, it was lit up bright like that. I didn't flip that into the negative or anything. That's just because of the reflection of the sun off of it. So you can very clearly see things that are in orbit around the sun coming and going, sitting there, and things like the Stargate, like that Thoth talked about in the Book of the Dead, Emerald
right.
Tablet. The Sumerians talked about it in Babylon and all these things. And now that one picture I sent you was a picture, a computer-generated mapping of the nodes and the connectors between the nodes and the neurons in our brain. And then the one next to it was the same thing, but it was a picture of the universe. And you put them next to each other, and they're exactly alike. So there might be, we've seen things, five or six things hovering in orbit, and I can show it to you. A sunspot forms, and one by one, two, three, four, five, they all go into the sunspot, and then the sunspot closes up. Are they forming it and using it? And then later on, you see a sunspot form, and you see one, two, three, four, five things come out and stop in orbit, and then they take off together. You know, it's controlled. It's fighting against the gravity of the sun, but I don't think the sun's even what we were taught it was. The sound and heat, like convection, it needs a medium to go through. So it might not even be hot until you get close to the sun. Now we know space is not a vacuum. It's close.
Right.
But there's so much material, and we can only – our band of vision is so narrow. And out of the entire, from infrared to ultraviolet, we can see about this much of the whole spectrum. And only 3.9% of all the matter in the universe is made up of atoms. Everything else is not electrons that are protons and neutrons in the nucleus with electrons going around it. That's how all our atoms are set up.
Right.
96% of the universe is not set up like that. Almost everything, and they call it dark matter. All of it's dark matter, which I think it's all different kinds, but it has the protons and the neutrons and everything together all in the nucleus, but it still has that magnetic field that you know, connects it and separates it, which is what zero point energy is. It still can become a fabric or a membrane, or it can become something physical. And we're just now understanding that. Like, whenever I was in elementary school, there was solid, liquid, and gas, even in high school. Now there's plasma. And we have just barely begun to understand how plasma works, what
right.
it is.
Right.
So many
uh-huh.
things. But now I'm starting to understand how the pyramids, not just in Egypt, but worldwide, what these megaliths are and how they work. And I'm starting to get to the point to where I think that I can make some of these things work again. And what they do, we will find that out later. I'm not that far yet, but it will be a major disclosure like that.
Right on, man. Right on, brother. Right on.
It's not an ancient tomb because it was not decorated inside the way all the Egyptian tombs were.
Right.
There's Egyptian
no.
stuff, the
yeah.
current day, new history, the 12,000 years, and then there was the older stuff, Abydos and all those places, and the Giza pyramids, they are in pristine condition, and the younger the pyramid, the younger the structure, the worse it is, the more it's falling apart, the newer stuff looks like mud.
Right.
So in Hotep and everything, it was the They call him the Architect Pharaoh. That was in this pre-established understanding of what history is that they let go.
The actual history of, yeah.
He's trying to keep everything fitting in that story. Well, you got to go back to the Tepe, right? Next door, it's 2,000 years older, so how could the Egyptians have been first? But those things, that there's too many out of place artifacts. And the only thing that makes sense is that it's wrong. And so that's what we're about. We're rewriting history because I think it will take that not only for the extraterrestrial life,
right,
in history, but it'll also get people out of this political mindedness that does nothing. If you want to change the world, put down your sandwich board and go read something. Go to another country and look at it for yourself.
Right.
You know, you take the tour, they're going to tell you it's called, and I've been on all these, they tell you it's the Temple of the Feathered Plume Serpent. It's some magical god. No, it's actually called the Templo del Hombre Barbado, which means the Temple of the Bearded Man. And there were no bearded men that were Mayans. Like Native Americans, they didn't have beards. But Quetzalcoatl, Kukulcan, all of them, they had a description of generally the same. They sounded like the same one, Graham Hancock's builder god. But you start to see Graham's research, my research, Klaus Dana, all of them have this common thread through them. And right now, all of them have just pushed history back 100,000 years.
Right. Yep.
And that was
right on.
That was
speak it, brother. Yep.
Point Doom, I think, is kind of the nail in the coffin because now you have a structure that is absolute architecture. It's bigger than anything we have. I think maybe the Great Wall might be the only thing bigger on the planet. But it definitely was formed, and now you have the erosion that shows that it was above water. The canyon was carved around it. So now that is a megalithic discovery. We have these massive things that if we can get that fact out there and say, this is not Sycamore Knoll, it is not a natural. I mean, how unnatural does something have to look before somebody... But people will believe that when they hear the talking heads on TV tell them that.
Right.
And people just stop listening to the talking heads, think for yourself, turn the TV off, disconnect your cable. You'll be way happier in a year. You'll get a lot done, I'm telling you.
Jeff, do you have a timeline on that stuff at all? When you think
on point for point doom?
Yeah.
Or the timeline on when I'm going out?
Well, no, on the point doom and stuff like that. Does it coincide with what they're actually saying or not? Or is it, you think it's much
better? Well, I formed the hypothesis after, and when you have it built exactly where the North American ice cap ended during the ice age, that would have been just like now. We build it around utilities and we build where it's convenient to have a civilization around that.
Right.
Now, anybody coming from any different direction for trade would have always stopped at that point because that's where the glaciers started pouring off into the ocean in North America, and everything west of the Rockies was dumping into the ocean right there, and that's what dug Malibu Canyon.
Right.
But you can see in the photos I sent you, just like when you're at a campsite and there's a heavy rain, you dig a little ditch behind your tent uphill so it'll go around the tent, and you can see where they dug all the canyons run down like this, four of them, and then one on this side. And then there's one that runs almost at a 90-degree angle to it that makes that water go around it. And that green bridge that I sent you is after, you know, I guess after a lot of melting, now they have two structures next door to each other and they needed to get to the other one. There's a bridge between the two of them.
Right.
And it's not arched like natural. And you got to remember, you've got the biggest waves in the world. That's where the surfing is coming through there. And that bridge is perfect, 90-degree angles. It's like an interstate bridge, and it's not natural in any way. There's nothing supporting it. It doesn't have support columns. You know, that's something that we're not even doing today, but it coincides with that 300,000-year history. That's about where I would probably put it, at least because it would take that long for melting ice to dig a canyon that deep.
Right.
And so... I'll let the data tell me what the story is, and that's what more people need to do instead of trying to go out and prove their story. You know, it's been a theory contest for too long, and it's time to put scientific method back into archaeology and not just make stuff up and see who can come up with the most proof to prove their thing. You know, you examine, and the first thing I learned is do not test for a certain result. You will get it, and you will disregard everything else and call it an out-of-place artifact.
Right.
And, I think that's why the world's just kind of been like an open book to me, because I'm not doing it the usual way. I'm doing it the very simple way. I'm like, it's not like I'm some super genius. I'm looking at what it is and then just saying what it is.
Yeah.
And that thing had to be 4,000 years ago. And Point Doom's one of them. Another, look at Indonesia. Indonesia is covered in pyramids that look like they're in Mexico. You can't get any more Aztec-looking. Candy Kethek pyramid, C-A-N-D-I, Candy Kethek,
right.
Candy Suka, and
yeah.
Yang Padang, and these things are along that 28,000 to 40,000-year time whenever we're supposed to be in caves with loincloths on, you know, and clubs, and it doesn't make sense. We're finding, and you know, like me being a metallurgist, that's how I got metallurgical training and realized in order for them to make these advanced tools and these things, they had to have metallurgy. So the history books are wrong there.
Right.
And Klaus Dana in Hidden History of Humanity, I remember this during my training, and I took the training as a metallurgist just because I wanted. That I thought that's what it took, because I thought they were pouring. Because I said, maybe they're carrying a bunch of smaller stones and melting it down and making the big stones in the pyramid here. Well, it turns out the pyramid is actually concrete. They were mixing sodium carbonate, 10%, 30% water, and 60% lime sand.
Oh, wow.
And they were making the material right there.
Yep.
They're making the material right there. And so just using a mass spectrometer and doing the science right, and the first question you ask is, what is it? Literally, what is it made of?
Right.
That tells you a whole bunch of other things, and it tells you a whole bunch of things that are wrong, too. There's just no way to do it the way that they're telling in schools. If it's impossible, and they say it's impossible, it's impossible. And they said, well, what about the obelisk and the stone still sitting in the quarry? And I said,
later.
It's still sitting in the quarry.
Yeah.
But they couldn't get it out. That was New Egypt trying to build it like they thought it was done, like our history books say it was done.
Right. Yeah, a long time after the fact, yeah. Well, Jeff, I'm sorry to say we're kind of running out of time here. Only got a few minutes left. But I do definitely want to thank you for being with us. We're definitely going to have to do this again.
Most
you
definitely.
Are just awesome. I love the information you
thank
put
you.
Out there. And folks...
Thank you.
Folks, you got to check out the group there, the Independent Research Society. I do post it in the Closer Encounters page, and I'll post it again a few more times here. You got to join it. Check it out. Join it. And if you're...
rewrite history with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're going to...
So,
we're rewriting it, I guarantee it.
Right on. Right on, brother.
So,
right on, man.
In the meantime, I want everybody to know... I got a couple of things here I want to mention real quick. Some people may or may not know. One of our older admin, when I joined the Ancient Aliens group back a few years ago, James Hagee, he has recently passed away, and I want to send out our condolences to his family. Good man, and he's going to be truly missed.
My friend Colby, I just found out. Colby Martin passed, and his wife's listening. She's in our prayers, and now she's in the society, too. That's another thing we do. So,
Also, also tomorrow night, I'm going to try. We have a national or nationwide or worldwide moon observatory. Supposed to be tonight. Now, the weather here has not been the greatest. So I wanted to take out my scope and actually put it live feed to it and see if we can get it up and running. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but we're going to try it. So keep that in mind. After the show here in just a few minutes, if everybody would like to go to the AA chat, that's going to be open. and they will be doing the Ancient Alien program there, and you guys can join in on that. So that'll be pretty awesome. But other than that, I once again, Jeff, thank you very much for being here. Tim?
Hey, I had fun.
Thank you for being here.
Hi, Tim.
You bet.
Never heard you.
Bet.
We'll talk online.
Thanks, yeah, we're going to have to get that fixed. Yeah. Alrighty. So, in the meantime, I want to say thank you all and everybody was in the live chat. Awesome group. And everybody's listening in. Thank you very much. In the meantime, please keep your eyes to the skies and have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow night. Thank you, Jeff.
Peace out.
I want to thank you all for listening to Closer Encounters. Please remember to like, follow, and share. And until we meet again, keep your eyes to the skies. Thank you.